just a little parenthetical comment, you're probably wondering what in the name of sense is a sunnah. You know, it's not Christmas, it's not Easter. Actually, I'm receiving a very neat honor today. The Old Town Association of New Cumberland is having their annual recognition dinner, which they do annually of someone. And they have selected this year to recognize two retiring pastors from our community. Reverend Carl Peterson, who was a pastor at Trinity United Methodist, he actually got in early on me, and he retired 3 years ago. And for some reason, they wanted to recognize me at this dinner today. I just want to say, anything that they say, please, honors give it to God for what he has done. And you as church family, you've made a big impact on this community in many, many ways. I discovered that when I first moved here, there were some perceptions in parts of the community that said Church of the Nazarene just isn't part of the community. I don't know what all that meant, and I chose not to pursue that one any further. But I just want you to know that is not so today. You are recognized very much as a real part of this community. Your children's school and many other ministries to the community and service Sunday has been one of those opportunities in which we move beyond the four walls and extend service of worship to ministry to others in community. So, any recognition I receive, I pass that on to you. Thank you, church. Well, we've been looking at these two verses of scripture for a few weeks now. And the series that I'm doing is that God wants to sanctify you. And we've been looking at this big, scary, five-syllable word, sanctification. Can you say that quickly? Don't. What is it? What does it mean? How important is it? How do we receive it? I don't want to get in a hurry. Take your time. And for a while, these two verses have just grabbed my attention. One is this prayer of Jesus. Father, sanctify these disciples you have given me through the truth. Your word is truth. And then he goes on to pray. And I pray this also for those who will believe in me through their message. That means this prayer for us. Jesus prayed that you and me would be sanctified. Can you do it? I've been, for a while I haven't asked you to go do something, or I just want you to let this truth seep in. And then, a little bit later in scripture, you have this claim, proclamation. Jesus suffered crucifixion to make us holy. Through his blood shed on the cross. And we hear terms like, you gotta be holy, or you gotta be nicer, or you gotta be. Or don't. But what I've been wanting us to really, honestly, genuinely hear in the midst of all the common debate with these terms, God wants to do something in you. It goes beyond helping you deal with this week, which he promises to do. God wants to sanctify you. What God wants to do. I even have this older comment. consecrate yourselves and be holy. Command. Imperative. Authority, because I am the Lord your God. Why should you do it? Because God said so. If God said so, that pretty well settles it right there. Right? You don't need any more reason. God said so. That's it. Keep my decrees and follow them. It's this next phrase. I am the Lord who makes you holy. It doesn't say you have to have proof of having done miracles, or be extra nice, or have a lot of people tell you how wonderful you are to be declared holy. Did you know that?
Yeah.
There's some traditions that follow that thought, but that's not scripture. Every command of God, the standards God gives us, is built on this truth that God wants to make you holy. And in making you holy, make you what He wants you to be. Even several months back, we just worked our way through the letter to the Colossians, becoming the people God designed us to be. Realizing God is shaping, molding, transforming, working it. Not just that, the God who created the universe, the God who created us as humans, the God who sent Jesus to be our Savior, the God who raised Jesus from the dead. That one. God. What does God want to do in you? Let's just think. Lord God, guide me in. So I try to teach these truths today. Open our hearts and our minds that we might receive and really, genuinely hear you. Hear you in ways that help us jump over old arguments and debates and prejudices. Genuinely, authentically hear you. So guide me as I try to teach this. That you might be honored. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been spending a few weeks on this portion of it. Why does God want to make you holy? Why does He want to do this? It does answer some questions. And there's some verses in 1st letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, that gives some very clear direction. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one wrong or exploit a brother or sister, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, just as we have already told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, theory, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. Now, sexual immorality seems to be the primary focus for this teaching. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control your body with its desires. That you not wrong brother or sister in this matter. That seems to be the primary focus. The emphasis here is avoid immorality. Stop doing wrong. That's the emphasis. And the third one, we've been looking at the other two previous weeks, but this one is that you not exploit or do wrong to a brother or sister of sexual immorality. What about dishonesty in business? That's there too. Or maybe I'll just skip that next one, okay? That'd be all right. Maybe, do you know what I see? I see more problems from gossip than I do from sexual immorality. Did you know that Scripture identifies gossip along with adultery as sin? Did you know that? That's defrauding a person's name. What about judging people? I know there's a passage in which Jesus isn't really very clear. He should have known that. He says, judge one another by the fruit. Don't judge one another. That's all within one chapter. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. But as you look at it, we do discern a person by the fruit they bear. If we discern, judgment has to do with condemnation. That's in God's hand. As you look at Scripture, there's very different teachings. Sanctification, so that you don't exploit, do wrong, defraud. Because the Lord is the avenger, He's the judge. We're given account of something. In fact, we give an account every day of our life. Did you know that? God is the ultimate judge. But before we spend time focusing there, I've been asking us to flip this. Because in this prayer that Jesus prayed for God to sanctify us, Jesus prays that we be united with Him in life as well as in heaven. He goes beyond avoid sin, stop doing bad, to being what God called us to be. In that prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17 that I've been looking at, I'm taking different phrases from it. You have this verse: I am sending them into the world to advance the mission you assigned me to do. It's more than stop doing wrong. Our challenge is to advance the mission of Jesus. John, hear Jesus. I have sent them into the world just as you sent me. And then his appearance to them after the resurrection, he says, now as the Father has sent me into the world, I'm sending you into the world. Oh, that's Jesus' prayer. Sanctify so that we might be effective witnesses. That all of them... Can you join with me in reading that second bullet there? May all of them be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Are we reflecting the unity between Jesus and the Father in our relationship with one another and with Jesus? We're not. May they also be in us so the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus' prayer for us. I have given them the glory that you gave me, Father, that they may be one as we are in one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. That's Jesus' vision. Now, Jesus does send us out to proclaim Him as Lord. But when we really listen to Him and follow Him, one of the signs that we are representatives of Jesus is our unity with one another. New commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another. The world will know you belong to me by the way you love Well, my goal today is not to save bad people. My objective and my purpose is to say, here's what Jesus is praying for us. God is stretching us to become what he envisioned us to be. Jesus shifted the focus from avoid sinning to glorify God, and he uses terms like love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. And later on in the scripture, we have this direction. Pursue peace with all people as well as holiness. This nice holy walk with God is always lived out in relationship with others. Always, always, always. So let's rephrase those practical reasons for a sanctification this way. Father, God wishes to sanctify you so that you maintain moral purity in the midst of a sensual world. So that you take responsibility for and discipline your own desires in harmony with the values taught by Jesus. So that you love one another and cultivate genuine community. Beyond God's call, you must love one another. New commandment to you. We have in here the provision by which God enables us to become and to do what he calls us to do. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Cultivate community. And that letter, first letter to the Thessalonians, carries these calls for love. May the Lord make your love. It doesn't say just make it. May the Lord, look at that. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you, the Apostle Paul, for his disciples. Thessalonians. May the Lord strengthen your hearts. Jesus says, values of life come from the heart. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones, purity, singleness of heart. And now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family. Throughout Macedonia, he says to those Thessalonian Christians. And yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, do so. How? More and more and more. It means none of us have arrived. So what does this love look like? Love? Oh, I do. Well, look at it this way. You got it there, Sam? Take it away. Read and proclaim. Where do you hear that most time? Weddings. Has anybody looked at 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 lately? And have you seen the word wedding tied in with that yet?
Must be like a loop.
Now, that's a good place to start. He's writing to the church. Be patient. I don't do a very good showing God job of showing that. Is my jealousy. Wow. I get so jealous of some people. Rude dudes. Much as I want, I get sort of rude some days. Does not demand its own way. I'm a control freak. So are you. Is not. Does that really say that? Really say that, Jeff? Mike, oh boy. keeps no record. He does not rejoice about it. I like those movies where the good guy comes in and kicks the bad guys and knocks them flat out. Rejoices when truth wins out. Never gives up or loses, never loses faith. Folks, there's some times at the close of the day as I kneel by my bed, all I can say is, Lord, I blew it again. Early the next morning, Lord, we're going pretty good today, but pretty soon I gotta go meet the world and things are gonna change pretty quick. Always hope. I do hope for the name of Jesus will come again. So I wonder if hopeful has more to do with just Jesus coming in. Oh, that's important. Endures through. That's love. It's more than just wanting the best for everybody, including me. There it is. Let me talk about another little one. I'm going to come back to this gossip thing a little bit. What about humor and sarcasm that demean and belittle people? You know, the humor way in which we shut down conversation. Right now, some of you are saying, well, what about you? I want to deal with you because Jesus wants to talk with each one of us. Derogatory comments that condemn people. Malicious remarks that denounce authority and disrespect leaders, teachers. How do you refer to the president of our nation when he doesn't do things the way you think he should? Is it with respect for his person? Or you can disagree without showing disrespect for the person. At church, we haven't done too good of a job. Remarks that shut off healthy conversation. Are we building people up or tearing them down? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another in the church as followers of Jesus. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. We call it the golden rule. This is the essence of all that is taught among the prophets. And who gave us that teaching? Who gave us that teaching? What are we doing about it? See, sanctification is the work of God in humans, making us holy people. I'm not here to say bad, bad, bad. What I'm saying is let's come to God and let him shape and transform and do his work in us. Let him transform us from the inside out. Look at some of these descriptions of God's work. Prophecy through the ancient prophet Ezekiel. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. God working in us. Or the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Again, that thought of God, Jesus dying for us, to make us what he designed us to be. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Do you know how many times I've heard that God can't do that? Do you know how many times I've heard that? Is that what this says? Now, is this scripture or just somebody's opinion? Jesus loved the church to cleanse her with the washing, with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's what God wants to do. Oh, the Apostle John puts it this way. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declared to you. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God upon living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Some sin, part of sin, several times, or all. Which is it? Should we take the word all out so we can make it more comfortable for us? Or shall we let the scripture stretch us? Think this one. God pours his love into our hearts. Spirit. Here's the one that helps me out a whole lot. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. My objective today isn't to say, feel guilty. My challenge here is not say, no, I'm such. Here's what I really want you to hear. It's all over. Nothing else. I want you to hear God wants to do something in your heart and my heart, transforming us into the likeness Jesus. And my next step in this is, how does God do that, and how do we achieve what God wants to do? There is personal responsibility. But I want to hear what God wants to do. God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, but God. That's sink in. What if God really does want to make you authentic, vibrant, radiant, contagious Christian? What if? I'm not asking you to go do that. I'm asking you, what if God wants to do that in you? Jesus suffered the crucifixion and made you holy through his own blood. Praise be to God.
I like that picture.
I just stand, receive the benediction. Fellowship back in the alcove, coffee available, juices, opportunity of fellowship. I would be here at the front. If you have questions, even pray with you. I'd like to be able to do that with you. We'll be having our Sunday school time. If you'd like to gather around, there's different classes available there. Kathy will be leading the group, and after some discussion, if you'd like to hang around for a while. Meantime, may the one who raised Jesus from the dead sanctify you through and through. May you be preserved, body, soul, spirit, and be made a blessing to our world. Until the day of Jesus.